this one space, and it's just like a plant nerd's dream.
But I'm also not allergic to lavender or bees.
Heard of people doing this before. They just sort of flood their plants and be like, oh, great.
Treehouse is nicer than my house.
It is. I know.
Couldn't find anything happening in Newcastle, eh?
And sorry. This,
yeah, it's on fleek.
Stop that. No adults allowed garden?
No I don't like your flower. Get off my stage.
Welcome back to the Helpful Gardeners podcast. Well, as it is 2024, you might be wanting to plan a little time away, right? I know during the cold winter months here in Canada, at least, we tend to flock to warmer places. We might even be starting to think about some of the ways that we can use our vacation time at work. Yep. I know for myself personally, I'm planning this big Scotland trip coming up in the summertime. And so I'm already looking up plenty destinations to fill my nerd soul.
I'm not even kidding. You're gonna go there and you're just gonna be like, wow. The rhododendrons,
yeah.
The size of them and how fast, like you know when you like first go to somewhere like Mexico or you know wherever and you're looking at the plants, you're just blown away and people are like, that's the side of the highway. You're like, whoa.
Well, and that's one of the coolest things and what made me think about a topic for this week's podcast, because now that we're starting to plan these planty destinations. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's a bit of a tongue twister.
Right? Now that we're planning these planty destinations, there's also something to be said about how to take care of plants while we're away, yep. Because likely you're thinking of a trip that will take longer than a week, right? Yep. So we're going to be talking about some of the most popular planty destinations, 8 in fact, plus room for honorable mentions if you think of anything. And then also that plant care while you're away. So let's start into my top 8 planty destinations. And the first one that I thought about was I've always had this dream of staying in a treehouse. Have you ever done it?
No, but we're planning on doing it in maybe February or March.
Seriously?
Yeah, jungle treehouse. Now, have I stayed in a treehouse? Yes, but nothing exotic. It was a kid's typical.
Oh
like,
no, that does not. Okay, that kind of counts. You get like half points for that. But have you seen some of the incredible treehouses that there are?
Oh yes.
So I actually went on Airbnb. Because, I mean, they have this exotic section on Airbnb.
Oh,
And okay. You can look up. There's an actual section dedicated to tree houses. And I found this one in Montana. It's a retreat.
I could go to Montana.
Yeah. I'm just going to show you this picture. And I'm going to include everything that we talk about today in our show notes over at goldenacre.ca/blog. So make sure to go over there. And I'm going to put all the links to everything in today's episode. But just take a look at this tree house.
Okay,
so that's the reaction, live reaction from Colin Hales. This is like a 2-story treehouse.
Yeah, that's not a treehouse, that's a tree mansion.
It's a tree mansion, and it has a spiral staircase going up to the front. You have access to like a picnic table and a little seating area with like a little fire pit. Inside, they've got like almost kind of like a cabin-esque, they have a tree... like that, trunk that, running that through the middle.
Treehouse is nicer than my house.
It is. I know. This is what's crazy to me. Like, it is absolutely beautiful. And I'm like, if this is just the first one that I'm seeing on Airbnb, I wonder what else there is. And like, for us in Alberta, Montana is really not that far away.
No.
And I can imagine, like, if you are anywhere across Canada, you can probably find something really cool. Anywhere across the world, really.
Well, we're planning and nothing booked or written in stone yet. But we're planning a trip to Costa Rica.
That's
and
awesome.
They've got jungle tree houses, mm-hmm. and you wake up in the morning and there's like monkeys or sloths or toucans on your deck or on your railing waiting to greet you. And you're like literally sleeping in the jungle canopy.
That's amazing. That actually brings me to trip number 2 is Costa Rica. There is
there
this
you
huge
go.
Thing.
We're so on the same page,
I
Brandy.
Know. And this, there's this huge... trend called ecotourism. Yep. You've heard of it.
Oh, yeah. That's Costa Rica. Nail it. Exactly. They are so good.
So if you're really into ecotourism, I highly suggest looking into Costa Rica. They do a lot of conservation for the rainforests, and there's a lot of different things that you can do, like programs, different protected areas that you can visit, and you can learn all about the ecosystems in Costa Rica.
And they also have amazing beaches.
Oh, yeah. That too.
I like the best of both. 1 week in the jungle, waking up with the animals. Yeah. 1 week waking up, rolling out of bed into the surf.
See, it's perfect. It appeals to everyone, right?
Exactly.
So number three, I want to head back to North America and visit the Sequoia National Park. Now, early last year, we talked about this, and it houses some of the largest sequoia trees in the world.
The largest one is the
General Sherman. General Sherman, yeah. Yep. I don't even think, would you have to take a whole week if you were going from Alberta?
Well, it depends how long you want to stay. One of our family bucket list, I don't know if we'll ever get to do it, maybe when we're older, rent one of those Canada RVs.
Yeah.
Drive from here to Vancouver, go south, drive through Washington, Oregon, California, and then cut back up through like Nevada, New Mexico, Utah, and Colorado, and Montana, and come back to Canada.
Okay.
And see like all of the giant trees, see the cactus in the deserts and all of it.
Okay, that's like the ultimate planty road trip is going through that. I mean, you hit up, like you just said, you get sort of a little mix of everything.
Yeah, and drive the Pacific Northwest Highway, the Coast Highway, because it never gets a shout out, and I've never been, but from everything I see, Oregon looks stunning.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, so we want to do that and then kind of come up through the interior so we get like the Pacific rainforests and Napa Valley and the Valley of the Giants, and then you come up through Saguaro National Park and see those big cowboy cactus, as I call them. And yeah, so like Arizona, Nevada, Utah, Colorado. Mm-hmm.
So number four, I've heard that Washington gets cherry blossoms. I've also heard that many places in BC, my sister lives out on the West Coast and she always sends the cherry blossoms from Victoria and Vancouver.
Yep.
I mean, iconic cherry blossoms have got to be in Japan. If you've ever seen anime and manga art, cherry blossom is a very symbolic thing in that art form. Yeah. And so if that's something that you're really into, highly suggest looking into trips to Japan and checking those cherry blossoms in person.
And the Japanese maple.
That's so true too. Yeah.
I remember asking a friend years and years and years ago who'd been to Japan. And I said, okay, this might sound like a stupid question, but I need to know, does the Japanese maple grow in Japan like the maple grows here?
Yeah.
Right? Because like people are like, well, if you go to Australia, you're walking down the downtown Sydney, are you picking up koala bears? No, you are not. But what, and he was like, yeah, the Japanese maple is everywhere. Like there's entire hills that are just blood red because of the, and I was like, kind of wish I'd never asked.
No, that's like, information I didn't want to miss out on.
Okay, I guess I'm heading to Japan someday.
FOMO.
You know what though? I've seen the Japanese maple. They're beautiful. They're one of my favorite trees. Cherry blossom, though.
Yeah.
10 out of 10 on that one.
Yeah. You know what I'd want to see, too, is like wild bamboo.
Yeah.
Like I saw it at Bouchard Gardens in Victoria. They have bamboo growing in there. They have a whole Japanese garden there, and it's really quite. That should be another destination, honestly. It's one of the most beautiful gardens in the world. But Bouchard Gardens out on Victoria, they have this whole Japanese garden, and they have a bunch of bamboo growing, and it's the coolest thing. Obviously, nothing compares to the authentic, you know, out in Asia. Like, it's incredible. So I'd want to see bamboo too, I think. Yeah. Okay, number five, talking more about flowers, but in a way of celebrating flowers. Have you ever heard of the flower carpet in Brussels?
I've been to Brussels.
Have you?
Yeah.
But you didn't see the flower carpet?
No, I never even heard of it. No.
No?
Best waffles I ever had in my life. I remember that.
Best waffles and the flower carpet are must-sees in Brussels.
So you got nothing to lose.
So they label it as a puzzle of 1,680 square meters. So what they do is they use begonias, dahlias, grass, bark. 100 volunteers assemble this carpet in less than 6 hours. It started Yes. Wait till you see the picture. It started in 1971. They've been doing it every 2 years.
I went was one of those in between years. Yeah,
exactly. There you go. But what they do, it's on the weekend of August 15th, stroll across the Grand Place, a jewel of Gothic architecture, and inhale the fragrant scent of the flowers and admire its details. It looks like it should be in a museum. It's outside.
It looks like a car. It's 6 hours.
6 hours. They do that in 6 hours. It is so colorful, so gorgeous. So, like, how do they engineer this thing? Like, it looks like what? Like,
you got to send me a link. I got to see more of that.
Oh my gosh. It's absolutely gorgeous. And it brings a huge draw of people.
Yeah. And honestly, and the added bonus to that is Brussels is actually a stunning city. When I went, we did a lot of other stuff, but honestly, the waffles.
Yeah. Yeah,
waffles. I've been chasing that ever since then. I'm not kidding. Every time I see Belgian waffles, I've tried them. I've tried them with all different toppings. And maybe they're actually better, but I can't recreate that first one I ever had. Oh, gosh,
no. No, so, because you got to think, there's been so many external factors to go along with that core memory, right?
Exactly.
There is the feeling, the smell, the atmosphere around you. Like
first time, we'd get up in the morning. And we'd walk to the local baker's and it was down a cobblestone street. And all it was a bakery and they had coffee. And it was before any of the fancy coffees or anything like that. And you'd walk back with fresh bread and your breakfast was like a waffle and a coffee. And these cobblestone streets in Belgium. And yeah, it was all right.
That sounds like my kind of morning.
Yeah. It was pretty good.
So if you want to go check out Brussels, it's every 2 years, like I say. The last one happened actually 2023, so you will have to wait another year to plan. So exactly. There's a positive spin on it. But one last thing about it, it's really cool. Again, I'm going to link this in our show notes, but the nonprofit association Tapis de Fleurs brings together a committee of professionals, including illustrators, graphic designers, landscape architects. And I mean, when you see the look of this carpet, like you can see that that's created with a lot of passion, right?
Tapis
and a lot
de
of skill. Tapis de Fleurs.
It's probably flower tapestry translated.
Yeah. That would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really cool. So that is the flower carpet in Brussels. So next up, we have another flower show. And this one is closer to your home. Actually, where is Chelsea? Okay, we don't talk about Chelsea.
London.
I'm so sorry. But this is a really cool one. Okay. I had to include it on the list because
couldn't find anything happening in Newcastle.
And sorry. This is like the biggest thing ever. And this isn't even the first time I've heard of it.
The Chelsea Garden Show, the Chelsea Flower Show.
Yep. Exactly. So the RHS puts this on, the Royal Horticulture Society.
Yep.
And it attracts like a whole bunch of people. The reason I found out about it was because I was watching this YouTuber, Louise Pentland, and she got invited to this thing. And it's like a red carpet event. Oh, yeah. I had no idea how bougie it was.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, it's on fleek.
Stop that. So the next one is coming up May 21st to 25th. And there's member only events. There's a bunch of different events. One of the coolest things that I found was there's a no adults allowed garden.
Wicked.
It's designed by children for children.
Good.
How cool is that?
And one thing I know a lot, people will enter new varieties in contests at mm-hmm. the Chelsea Flower Show. And if you win, your variety, it could be anything, echinacea, hosta, it really doesn't matter, dahlias are probably pretty common, and if you win, you are skyrocketed to like instant fame in the world of horticulture.
So it's like the American Idol of horticulture.
Oh, I never thought of it that way. And you know what? It's in England, in London. Simon Cowell is probably there. I don't like your flower. Get off my stage. That's a no for me, dog.
What does Paula say?
I'm
just happy to be here.
Yeah, there you go. I'll play Randy and Simon. You can do Paula.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I mean, I must admit, this seems like the kind of event that I would want to go to just to see the bougie element of it. Like the sculptures. I'm currently looking at two deer made out of what I would assume to be like driftwood or something like that. And it's made to look like a meadow. Like it's like art installations gathered together in this one space, and it's just like a plant nerd's dream.
And it's like it is the best of the best. I've never really wanted to go. It's not my scene.
Yeah.
But you're right. You're gonna see the creme de la creme there.
Yeah.
You really are.
Number 7 is Amsterdam, and the reason why I thought of this is tulips. Because it's the tulips, yeah. And every year we always get tulip bulbs in, and they always come from Holland. And I just recently found out that Holland and the Netherlands is like the same thing.
Yep.
I had no idea. I was like, I was Googling Holland. I'm like, I can't find Holland. It keeps taking me to the Netherlands. It's because it's the same thing. Yep. But our friends, Peter and Bree, they recently went on their honeymoon. They went to go see the tulips because that is exactly it. It's such a draw. So the Tulip Festival, March 21st until May 2024. So you have quite a bit of time to go and see them. But I mean, if you've never seen, just Google or go on our show notes and just see the carpet of tulips. I mean, we know tulips come in so many varieties, and just imagine them all put together and in just like fields of tulips.
And you know why Canada has, maybe I talked about this, maybe I didn't. Believe during World War II, the Netherlands royal family needed to get out because they were against the Nazis. And Canada, because Canada was the safest, tucked them in. And the princess, I believe, was pregnant at the time. And she gave birth in Canada. Like, she literally stayed, I think it was like she stayed at 24 Sussex Gardens.
Wow.
Like, they afforded her every luxury, the best doctors. They took care of her baby, and they asked for nothing from the Netherlands. The Netherlands were, I mean, we were at war as well.
Yeah.
But that country is being bombed on the daily.
Yeah.
Canada wasn't.
Yeah.
So Canada kept them safe and basically made sure that the heir to the throne was looked after and taken care of. And ever since then, the Netherlands have gifted us with tulips. That's why they did the Canada 150 anniversary tulip for
us. Is that why? Yep.
They hybridized that for Canada, and it's a thank you because Canada protected them when they needed it.
That's so special.
Yep.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So there is, it's funny that you saying that, like, you know, a Canadian wanting to go and see it, because there is a historical correlation between our two countries. We did something and then they gift us tulips. I believe all of the tulips in the Ottawa Tulip Festival, if you can't afford to go to the Netherlands, go to Ottawa, are gifted every year from the Netherlands to Ottawa.
Even more of a reason to go check them out, right? So whether you're going to Ottawa or going across the pond to Holland, I mean, millions of tulips are blooming in and around Amsterdam. So it's really a spectacle to see. They even have bus like tours that you can do. So highly recommend looking into that. But there's a whole website for this, tulipfestivalamsterdam.com, and you can plan out your entire, there's a flower parade. I just saw this. Wait a second.
I don't think you needed more reasons to go, but you're like, I'm in.
What is that? Okay, there's floats made of flowers.
There you
That's
go.
That's amazing. Okay, I know where I'm going. Okay, our final one, number 8. This is something I actually didn't know ever really existed, but it absolutely makes sense. Hopping over to France, the lavender fields.
Oh.
Have you ever been?
No, I've been to France, but I've never been to a lavender field.
Like,
basically drove through France to go to Spain.
Yeah.
I love lavender, and I have seen the pictures. And
yes, it looks like a Microsoft Windows background.
Yeah.
Like, they're so beautiful.
And just those rows of, and I can't even imagine the fragrance, and then all the bees buzzing around.
Oh,
and
yes.
It must just be idyllic.
Yes, like probably one
Unless
of their
Unless you have biggest... an allergy to bees.
Or lavender.
Even that.
So allergy beware, but there's lots of places to go and see lavender fields in France. So if you're kind of doing a European trip, you can just add one of those places into your itinerary and then go and check that out. Like you said, like the sight and the scent, you can probably pick up some really nice lavender gifts to bring back home. So that's really cool. But that was my 8 little planting. I mean, I'm sure there's tons more, right? I mean, we didn't even go into Greece or Spain or anything like that. So
Australia, New Zealand.
Exactly. I mean, like I could probably come up with 50, right? Yeah. There's so many.
South America. You touched on Central America, but South America.
Yeah.
You know, some of the plants down there. And they're also, you know, this isn't a one place that's on my bucket list that I would love to go. And it's for the plants, but it's also for the animals. The Amazon basin.
That would be wicked.
I would love to see that. I'd love to do one of the boat river trips down the Amazon for like 2 weeks.
Yeah. And another one I thought of was our dear friend Krista went and got to see how coffee is made down in yep. South America. Like, that's really cool too.
Yeah. If money was no barrier to entry, you know, you could spend a lifetime traveling around and seeing all these flowers, and it would be one hell of a good life.
It really would be.
I think. But I'm also not allergic to lavender or bees.
I'm so sorry for you if you are.
I know.
But yeah, that's our anthrophile
perspective. You go. Yeah.
Look at that. See, now I'm starting to use that word. Okay.
But very anthrophilic. I don't even know if that's a correct conjugation, but
I love the effort though. Yeah. Okay. So now we've gone and planned our dream vacation.
Yep.
But now we have all of these plant babies to take care of at home. And I know that can really stress out a lot of people, right?
I'm just going to let all mine die and come back with new plants from France and bulbs from.
You can't do that. You can't even do that.
I know I can't. Yeah.
No, but so what kinds of tips would you give somebody who has a whole bunch of houseplants and nervous about that?
Get somebody you can trust first off. When we went to Australia, we were gone for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And God love her, my sister-in-law was willing to completely upset her life and move into our place.
Really?
Yeah. And it was funny because that was like really one of the first times that I was like, oh, I'm going to be gone for like an extended period of time, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, so you can take care of the plants? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, great. And she was like, how do I take care of them? I was like, well, when they need water, give them water. The lights are all on timers. And mm-hmm. and she was like, can we walk through each one of your plants and can you show me what it needs? And in my head, I'm like, oh my God, just water it. And then I was like, no, actually, let's do it. And she kept every one of my plants alive.
See, there you go.
Yeah. So get somebody you can trust because I'm not going to name names. I'll give Trish a shout out there because she's my sister-in-law and she kept all my plants alive. But there have been times when I've gone on a vacation and people have offered to look after my plants and I have said yes and I have come back to dead plants.
Yeah.
You're in that awkward bind where somebody did you a favor, but you're like, that was not a good favor.
I mean, I have totally been that person. I have this like traumatic childhood memory of our neighbors asking us to keep their hanging baskets alive. And I was a preteen. So it was just, you know, a way to get some money. But they had all their hanging baskets in the garage and I never took them out. And I sometimes forgot to water them. And so they came back and I hadn't even really properly. I probably sprayed them and said, oh, that's good. Okay, let's go play soccer.
Yeah.
They came back and they were all dead. Every single hanging basket. And they were like the big kind too. So
it was
a huge, huge loss. And I remember crying. And
but you know what? You're awesome. Okay. I love you. But you are a preteen. That's why I started by saying, get somebody you can trust.
Yes. Yes.
I would never ask a preteen to look after.
No.
I wouldn't ask a teenager. Harry had to look after the garden for a week. It didn't go great. He kept it alive, but that's all it was kept. And then when Krista, our colleague Krista went on vacation last year, the year before, and she asked me if I would look after her plants. And she came back and she was like, this one has never bloomed before. And I was like, yeah, I got you. But get somebody you can trust. If you have lights like I do, buy a timer.
Yeah.
Or if you can't get a timer, you can't afford a timer or something, and you have a plant light, just leave it on.
Okay.
It's better to leave it on than off.
Yeah, because does that disrupt its cycle if you don't have a grow light on at all?
Yeah, you wouldn't want to do it if you are growing, say, cannabis.
Okay.
Okay. Cannabis, it's a whole, so I'm talking houseplants. I'm not talking production plants. Houseplants, you'll disrupt its cycle, but what was it going to do anyway? Right, it's just going to stay leafy and green and be like, hey, look at me, I'm leafy and green. Yeah. You're like, yeah, okay, have a light. But better to have the light than not at all. And then have somebody you can trust and do care instructions. And here's something that I thought of a little while ago. Life can happen, okay? No matter our best plan. So we're talking about preparing to go away on vacation. So you and Brad go to Scotland. You're like, hey, can you come by my house and water my plants while I'm away? I say, hey, no problem. And I go by and I water them. And you go, yeah, we have this many plants and this is where they are. I say, yeah, no problem. Have fun, guys. And I go do it. what if family emergency hits and you have to leave tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you explain it? Maybe write down the instructions.
Yeah.
Maybe have somebody ready to go. Like, it's not that hard. When you water your plants, just write, spider plant, living room mantle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Water once a week.
You know, and there should be like an app, like a house sitting app.
Yeah.
And then you write down instructions for everything that's in your house if you are getting someone to come over and do that. Yep. And then you can have like a whole plant section and it's like, this is how much. And these are pictures to go along with it. And like,
well, my sister watered our plants last year when we went to Greece.
Yeah.
And she sent me a WhatsApp and she's like, when are you coming back? And I was like, oh, it's like another 2 weeks. She's like, I am really sick and tired already of watering your plants.
Seriously.
She's got like 7 plants.
Oh, you have like 65.
And though, you know what I did? I thought I made life really easy. I lifted them all down from their spots. I clustered them all together. I put them under lights. Yeah. I left the lights on their timers. I left her all of the watering cans. And then there were notes. This entire group need to be watered this much on this day. This group, this much on this day. And she still was like, I am not enjoying what you have done here.
Oh, no. But, see, and you get it because that's your normal, right?
Yep.
That's not her normal.
No plants died.
Yeah.
So again, get somebody you can trust. Give them the instructions. You know, you hear some of those stories about, plants that are worth thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And I can't even imagine how I... Me being me, I don't know. I would trust anybody with that. I would probably bring in a plumber, look at how much it would cost to hardwire an irrigation system, hook it up to Bluetooth, and work it on an app on my phone from across the world while it's under a grow light on a timer.
I mean, I don't think we're that far away.
Wow, what a great idea. Hard line irrigation system dripped into... Think about it. It would be like a little faucet comes out the wall. You attach your little nubby bits and then you run them into plants and you have different zones. So this would be a programmed of a zone 4 and you go zone 4 waters this amount of time for this long on this day.
Yeah.
Don't steal my idea.
I think we both have like, this is a very inspiring episode.
Yeah.
But what happens, say you are going away and you don't want to leave it to somebody and you're just like, they're plants kind of thing. I've definitely heard of people doing this before. They just sort of flood their plants and be like, oh, great. Like, even if it's sitting in water, it'll just use it up as it goes. What do you think?
No, it's basically just overwatering.
Yeah.
But what you can do, there are methods I've seen. I've never used them, so I don't want to. I certainly don't want to advocate for them. We're actually getting them back this year. We used to have them. Remember the terracotta spikes? You'd put a wine bottle in it?
Yes.
So basically the idea is it's terracotta spike. You stick it into the soil. You take a wine bottle, an olive oil vinegar bottle, I'm sure would work too. Wash it, rinse it, make sure it's 100% clean, fill it with water, and you put it in, and it soaks the terracotta. Well, as the soil dries out, it pulls the moisture out of the terracotta and keeps you. Is it a permanent everyday solution? No. Will it work for a few weeks while you're gone? Ideally, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another one where you take a big bowl or a bucket of water. And you take garden twine and you basically braid it and then you run that to the plant and stick it into the soil. And as the soil dries, it dries the braid and the braid wicks the water.
Aha.
And it brings it into your plant.
Oh, that's so smart.
So there absolutely are methods that you can use. And again, they are not, they're not recommended to be used. If you're at home and you can look after your plant, that's better because these... They're not going to water evenly. They're not going to do anything, but they're going to keep enough moisture to keep your plant alive.
Yeah. And then when you get back, you can sort of see, okay, what do I need to do to bring it fully back? What about fertilizing schedules?
Honestly, again, if it's a production plant, you're going to have to find somebody who knows how to grow that plant for you. So if it's cannabis and whatnot, don't leave that with somebody who's never grown cannabis.
Yeah.
Tomatoes, same kind of thing.
And I think one of the final tips might be to do like a final inspection for bugs, because if you're gone for 3 weeks, can you imagine coming home to an infestation?
Well, do you remember what happened to my office plant in the summer?
Oh, yeah.
So I got all the bugs under control. I went on vacation for 6 weeks and I came back and it was ravaged by spider mites.
Yeah.
So you're going to come back and maybe you lost a couple of leaves on your plant, but it's alive. It's healthy. It'll come back. No problem. You got to have a vacation. Meh. Your plant grew a bit.
Yeah. But we hope that you enjoyed this episode. We hope that you're going to be planning some exciting trips this year and maybe not feeling too stressed out about leaving your plants at home. If you have any questions or ideas or just comments, reach out to us. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're also available by email, info@goldenacre.ca. Just use the subject line and include something about the Helpful Gardeners podcast and we'll see it. And we will chat with you next weekend for more fun.
Excellent. Sounds good to me. Bye, everyone.